Hey, Nathan here. Did you know that one of the many perks of being an Off The Ball member is the opportunity to join us at member events? The next of these is on Monday, October 7th at Killeen Castle. Find out how you can join us. Just listen to the latest episode of Golf Weekly or become a member now at offtheball.com/join.
You're listening to Off The Ball Breakfast.
Ireland's sports breakfast show. Yeah!
Hiya, it's Emma Carroll here from Off The Ball. I'm going to bring you another little bite-sized chunk from Off The Ball Breakfast. I'm going to tell you exactly what you need to know from this week's show. So this week, Irish boxing was on the agenda as Callum Walsh brought a big fight to Dublin's Three Arena. We caught up with him after his win and he explained what goes through a boxer's head as they walk out in front of a home crowd.
Now when you think about Friday, what sticks in your head?
The walkout, you know, it was crazy. The atmosphere was 10 times better than 100 times better than I imagined. You know, I didn't expect the crowd to react the way they did. You know, and it sounded like 50,000 people in there. You know, it sounded insane. And it was loud, and I wish I could just. I watched it back last night, and the first thing I said was, "I wish I could just walk out again."
When you got to the ring, you were still in full "I'm loving every second of this" mode, and I had this moment of like, "Oh Jesus, does he know he's about to have a massive fight here?" But you were so chilled out; it was ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, I felt the buzz in there. I felt the energy, you know, and. I felt the fighting Irish spirit, you know, through the crowd, and I think I had no worries at all once I was in there. You know, once I felt the crowd and energy in the room, I wasn't nervous at all, and I knew it was going to go how it went.
Andy Lee talks about there being a moment where you flick a switch in the middle of the walk, and you go from being the, you know, in his case, one of the nicest men in the history of Irish sports to this cold-blooded killer. It seemed like you didn't switch into cold-blooded killer moments until you actually are touching gloves. When does the switch happen for you in your head?
No, it happens at different times. You know, sometimes it is like I'm in the back and it switches in the back. You know, and I'm in the back and I'm already in that mode. You know, and then I walk out. But for this one, I really wanted to enjoy the moment. You know, I wanted to enjoy that walkout and I wanted to enjoy the people that came to see it. So yeah, it wasn't until really the music turned off and we touched gloves that was the moment for me.
And is that an easy thing for you to do? Like, you've obviously practiced it loads, but to go from being able to soak in an atmosphere and then suddenly absolute laser focus on your opponent and his movements and where his feet are and what you're supposed to be doing.
Oh, well, you know, it's just like, it's my job, you know, it's just like you there, you know, you could be talking away or on your phone and the minute you're live, you know, you have to lock in and get it done, you know, it's the same thing, you know, it's just different job, I suppose.
No one's trying to hit us, though.
I know, yeah, but still, you know, it's just your job. You know, it's what I grew up doing. You know, and it's just what I'm used to.
Sticking with boxing now, have you ever wondered how much a mid-card boxer might make from a fight? It might not be as much as you think. Emmett Brennan and Andy Lee broke down exactly what will land in a boxer's bank account after a fight. Here's what you need to know.
There's definitely an audience for the rematch, but it's about where I can make the most money now. It's about being paid and seeing a bit of money going into the bank account.
I don't know if you want to tell us, but can you tell us how much?
How much? Well, I'm not going to tell you the exact figure, but like, you think about the amount of people that was there. You think about how good of a fight it was. You put 10 weeks into a training camp. It was under 10,000.
Right.
Then on top of that money, you got to pay taxes. You got to pay a few people in between. You got to put money into a training camp. So I would say when everything is paid off, 10 weeks, I'll probably come out with about 4,000.
It's a brutal sport, it's not,
yeah, it's not. Yeah, it's not a lot of money. It's not a lot of money. Yeah. So that's what I'm talking about. If the two of us are to do that again, and I think Kevin's on side with this, both of us have to be paid a lot better for that. You can't be sort of putting your life on hold and putting your body through that and going to war with someone coming out with injured hands, injured faces. You don't know what's next. Putting a lot on the line. You got to be well paid for it.
It's a mug's game.
Yeah.
It is. I used to say that all the time about myself.
So after Barcelona have been hit with an injury to Ter Stegen, it looks like Wojciech Szczęsny will come out of retirement and become the replacement. But Colin Buick, Mr. Cork, wondered why not Caoimhín Kelleher. Graham Hunter explained why that's not possible right now.
On this side of the world here, we were talking about, well, look, Caoimhín Kelleher wants to leave Liverpool. He said that in the international break. Was there any talk in Spain at all about the possibility of signing Liverpool's backup goalkeeper or wanting to?
None, but for a very specific reason. Barcelona's financial fair play problems are gross, but they step aside here because in Spain, when you lose a key first team player and you can produce a medical certificate to say he will be out for more than 4 months, you may replace him. But you may only replace him with somebody who is out of contract and was out of contract at the end of the transfer market. So, for example, if Kelleher and Liverpool shook hands, found an agreement, and he paid them to go, or they paid him to go, whatever it might be, and that includes the case for, there's a goalkeeper called Valles at Las Palmas, who was very, very good last season, fell out with the club, has been set aside and made the training with the kids and isn't playing the first team. If they'd paid him off, vice versa, neither Kelleher nor Valles could have suddenly joined Football Club Barcelona. You had to be out of contract without a club on the end of the transfer market, which is whatever it was, the last day of August. And that's what applies to Chesney and did apply to a number of other goalkeepers, including another ex-Liverpool, Bukarius. So I understand your level of interest. And what I think is feasible is that there is an investment either in January or next summer in a long-term replacement for Ter Stegen. But it was impossible to do that this summer because they simply couldn't fit another player in because of financial fair play regulations.
So, Irish rugby fans, the South African rivalry rumbled on even when we're not playing. Ireland became world number one once again after Argentina upset South Africa last weekend. And rugby journalist Mark Keohan told us why the Springboks and the Irish need to play more often.
It's criminal that the Boks aren't playing Ireland in Dublin at the end of the year. They should be playing each other every single year at that November series.
It's mad that the money hasn't stepped in and said, hang on a second, we're going to sell more TV. It's just mad that the organisers have like allowed this to happen, and where we're in a situation where the two best teams aren't playing each other.
Yeah, I mean, you've got the two best teams comfortably in the world. Their results have proved it consistently, and you know we get the they've played each other four times in 6 years. Four times, yeah, that's Paris, Dublin, and the two in South Africa this season. You would really think that something could be done outside of that schedule as well to accommodate that, because I know that in South Africa, we want to play Ireland. We want to test ourselves against a side that is consistently one or two. And I'm sure the Irish guys feel the same. They want to be playing the Springboks and kind of measuring their progress as well towards 2027.
Lazio! Who else used to think that they said Lazio there? Yeah, me too. Good memories of Italian football on Channel 4 growing up. Italian football journalist Daniela Fischella explained how Italian football has changed since.
The Italian teams are definitely prepared, set up to face the top oppositions in Europe. We have five teams in Champions League this season. Juventus started the Champions League campaign well with a 3-1 against PSV. Bologna are an interesting prospect, and after all, they could have won against Shakhtar. Let's see what the Italian teams do in the Europa League and Conference League. Obviously, there are some games that are played at a slower pace. The tactical nuisance and the tactical know-how is still prevalent, is still dominant in Italian football, but it's not the Italian football of yesterday years where, you know, low-scoring games, 0-0, 1-0 wins. No, the teams play more open, more freely. Inter under Simone Inzaghi are an example of it, you know, the way the players, especially the fullbacks and the wingbacks, exchange position, come inside. Then you got teams like Juventus, again, under Thiago Motta, trying something new, a more sophisticated build-up approach as well, and high press. We spoke about Fonseca. But there are also other teams in Italy that this year have changed the way they play, and they understood a more expansive approach is the way to go. Top of the table is Torino, who hired a new manager, young manager Paolo Vanoli, never managed in Serie A, promoted last year Venezia, and he completely changed Torino with a more aggressive approach, pressing high. They are scoring more goals, helped by the fact they play sometimes with three strikers, Zapata, Che Adams, the Scottish international, as well as Sanabria, and you know, finally being more entertaining to watch. I think there is always a blend in Serie A of expansive football, a little bit more of conservative football, but I would say the school of coaching and the know-how, the pedigree of Italian football is still very up there. So perhaps whether we don't have the best players, so we can't attract the best players in Europe yet, or as we used to be, I think the level of managers and the level of know-how in the league is still very high and makes us competitive.
Now, rugby commentary legend Royal Nugent, Tommy Bo, brought us his "You Had to Be There" moments this week, and actually that wasn't one of them. What he did tell us is what you may not have known about the Irish women's rugby 2013 Grand Slam win.
Claire Malloy, who is one of my favourite rugby players of all time, was playing at seven for Ireland and got hypothermia at the match. There were not enough showers for the girls to shower afterwards. There wasn't enough hot water. They had to go back to the hotel to change. And I was struck by their refusal the whole way through as a group, led by Philip Doyle as their coach. I was struck by there was no difference to what effort and commitment and desire they had to do what they did. And I haven't gone on some sort of crusade since, but it was definitely a day I walked away from going, this is not right. This wasn't right. And you need to do what you can do going forwards to make sure that sort of wrong doesn't continue. You know, you need to change the mood music. And I think collectively as an industry, we have started to change that mood music. But in my mind, in my world, it was 2013 that happened for me. It should have happened a lot earlier. No question in my mind, it should have happened a lot earlier. But it did happen on that day. And they were a remarkable group of women. Lynn Cantwell in the centre, Fiona Coughlin, like I said, Claire Malloy, Nora Stapleton at out half, Larissa Muldoon at scrum half. Just as committed and phenomenal a group of athletes as you're going to meet. And it was a memorable, memorable day for me for the purity of the day.
Yeah, imagine getting hypothermia from playing a rugby match. Royal Brothers, what must have been one of the best lists of "You Had to Be There" history. It's well worth a listen, so go back and listen to that full thing over the weekend. So that's what you need to know from this week's sport. You can listen to the full interviews now on Off The Ball app by becoming a member at offtheball.com/join. And don't worry, if you're not a member, you can just download the app, sign in, and you can still listen to 3 free pods a month. And of course, you can catch all of Off The Ball Breakfast for free by tuning in each morning at 7:30 a.m. You can watch us on the YouTube channel, or you can listen to us on OTB Sports Radio. Just ask your smart device to play OTB Sports Radio. And we'll be back Monday morning at 7:30 with all the reaction to United versus Spurs with Martin Lipton. Quinny will react to all the rugby, and of course, we'll have the latest performance rankings. Have a great weekend.